Welcome to Life Creek Church. As Tammy said, we're going to have our last part in this Christmas Advent sermon series. Going to be done by Pastor Chris. He is the pastor of Church of Faith. And this joint service, I know some of you guys are like, joint service again. You know, it's going to be all in Korean and, you know, I'm not going to understand anything. And this year, we're trying to be less, like, hopefully more, less Korean ministry, like Korean language centered, and then a little bit of translation of the sermon. We're trying to be, as Tammy said, trying to be literally bilingual. And so I'm part of the team to organize, and Sabrina and, you know, Pastor Hanju and a few others. So we're trying to make it as bilingual as possible. So please try to attend. Don't have the reaction like, Korean ministry, and then, you know, just English is, you know, kind of tacked on. So so that's next Sunday at 10 a.m. So please try to make it. All right. So we're on the part three on this Christmas preparation Advent Christmas sermon series. And if you could all, I know we don't do this all the time, but if you could all rise, if you're able to rise, turn your Bibles. If you don't have one, then it's going to be up there to Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. And after I read it, I'm going to say, this is a word of the Lord. And if you could respond by saying, thanks be to God, and then you could have your seat, okay? Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. This is God's word. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for it is written by the prophet, and you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word, that I too may come and worship him. After listening to the king, they went their way, and behold, the star that had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. This is a word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Okay, let me pray for us and ask for God's help. If you could join me in prayer. Let me pray for us. Our great God and Savior, we pray for help. I pray that you would help us, Holy Spirit, the very Spirit of Christ. You would help us to feel the magnitude, to really feel it. Not just understand it with our heads, but the feeling of what these shepherds and this magi did to worship this king. On the outside looks like a little baby, cute little baby. It is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He is the Savior, the Messiah. Help us to see what they saw so that we might, in the coming new year, bow our knee before Jesus. Make that miracle happen. Now, we have read your word, come with power. Power from on high. All the resources that are in heaven that will be lavished on this place, this church, your people. Now, I pray all this not by might, not by power, but by your Spirit in and through Christ. Amen. There are three kinds of people this Christmas. I'm going to write in. I'm going to tell you the three kind of people that I see in this text and this Christmas. Number one, I'm going to list the three kinds of people, and then I'm going to try to unpack it for us this morning. And then the last group of people, which is the Magi, and I'm going to try to unpack for us what worship is. This is what they did when they worshiped Jesus. This is the kind of reaction that they had. Okay? The three kinds of people this Christmas. Number one, those who are indifferent to Jesus. Number two, those who are hostile to Jesus. So those people who didn't worship Jesus. Indifferent, hostile, and lastly, those who actually worshiped Jesus. Those who are indifferent towards Jesus, those who are hostile towards Jesus, and those who worship Jesus. The first kind is the people who simply do not do nothing about Jesus. He is a non-factor in their life. This group is represented by the chief priests and the scribes. Look at verse 4, gathering together all the chief priests and the scribes of the people. Herod inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. Well, and then they told them a prophecy, and that's that. Business as usual. And if you remember from last week, who this baby Jesus actually is, remember? The grandness of who he is, the creator of the universe, the sheer inactivity by the religious leader is staggering. Prophecy from their own scriptures. And notice verse 3 says, when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Everyone else knew something was up, except the religious leaders. They're not interested. In other words, there were rumors going around that someone thought the Messiah was born. No activity. Why not go like the Magi? But they're not interested. They do not want to worship the true God in the flesh, Jesus. So that's the first reaction towards Jesus I see in the text, just indifference. They don't care. They're not really interested. You know, it's not really in the text, but my masket, but, you know, a lot of people, maybe even just people who grew up in a church, or, you know, people who are outside of the church, not Christians, you know, they think Christmas basically is what? Things are on sale, you know, right? Isn't it? They have special 50%, 60% after Christmas sale. That's what Christmas is. but they're not interested in Jesus. It might not be everyone, but now people don't say they celebrate Christmas or Happy Christmas. You know, they say Happy Holidays, you know, Christmas. You know, they don't believe in Jesus. They don't believe in the Christ. We're not interested. These are the indifferent, not interested people. The second kind of people who do not worship Jesus is the kind who is deeply threatened by him. That is Herod in this story, the second kind of people who are threatened. He is really afraid. He was troubled, the text said. So much so that he schemed. He lied. Then he commits mass murder to get rid of this Jesus, this threat. So today there are two kinds of opposition against Christ and his worshipers. Those who are indifferent, they don't care. Another day, another week, another month for good shopping and sale. But Jesus, not really. Or they're hostile to Jesus or Christianity and his people who worship Jesus. Where are you? Are you in those? Are you hostile toward Jesus? Or maybe indifferent towards Jesus? You know, before I was Christian, I mentioned a little bit. I was in the indifferent. You know, I went to church. Remember, my dad was a pastor. You know, I practically grew up in the church. I lived in the church. But who was Jesus to me? Was he relevant? No, not really. No. Clothes was more relevant to me. How I dressed was more relevant than Jesus. Grades definitely was more relevant. I worship grades. Worship Jesus? No. Basketball, those who, not everyone loves, you know, sports or basketball. Basketball, good night. Yes, I worship basketball. You know what I know why I worship basketball? Because I spend hours playing it and trying to get good at it. Clothes were relevant. House might be relevant. Your possessions might be relevant. Because when he's gone, you worry. But not Jesus. Gone, here, who cares? Not interested. Not interested in Jesus. He was a non-factor in my life until I was born again. The third kind of people in this text, as you can see, is the shepherds. And Luke actually talks about shepherds, not in Matthew, but shepherds come and magi's come. And I said it last week, the awkwardness of this text, you know, it shouldn't be the chief priest, the highest status, religious status back then, should come and worship this Messiah, and yet nobody's come. People who weren't insignificant come. Just a few shepherds, you know? And these foreigners who are not even Jews, come and worship this Jesus. The prophets are called the King of the Jews. And look at what we learn about worship. Worth-ship. Worthy. Number one, look at what this magi do. First, look at chapter 2, verse 2. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod, the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born king? King of the Jews. That is authority. Worship is giving authority to, not to you, to someone else. He is worthy. He has authority. The same word is when we say, are you a Christian? Yeah. He's my Savior and what? Lord. That's what it means. Lord means now I don't have authority over my life anymore. It's not like, you know what? I don't feel like it anymore. I don't feel like doing it. That's not your authority anymore. It's not even your feelings. It's not how you think is the authority. Now, the authority is King, this King Jesus, and what he says. Worship is not just singing tunes. Worship is relates to a person, the person of Christ, Jesus, and how you relate to him. He is your authority, just like the Magi. You know, when you have kids, you know, you try to give your kids, like, try to make them eat vegetables, right? And we've been trying to convince our kids, carrots, it makes you strong, right? And I don't know how much they believe that, but every time we make Noah eat one or two carrot, okay? It's like, Daddy, I ate a carrot. It's going to make me strong. But it is a quite a challenge to try to make your kids eat vegetables because they don't want to, right? They just don't want to. You know, like, they don't feel like it. Okay? They resist it. And oftentimes, that's how we, as Christians, treat our God, our Savior. Jesus tells you, if you're a Christian, you have Christ living in your heart, the Bible says. He rules you. And believe it or not, Christ talks to you all the time through his Spirit. He tells you. He's leading you all the time. Every single second, he is your Lord. And this Lord goes, Jonathan, I want you to do this. Jonathan, I want you to think about this. Jonathan, I want you to spend more time here and less time here. And what do you and I do? I don't feel like it. It's like our kids reacting to vegetables. I don't want it. I don't want to do it. And they don't. That is not giving authority. That's not making Jesus Lord when your feelings and what you want to do rules. That's not how it works. That is not how Christianity works. My dear brothers and sisters at Life Creek. It is to what the Magi did. It is to fall and bow. It is to give dignity and honor. That's what worship is. The second thing that they did in worship, not just give authority to Jesus, they gave dignity and honor. I see the Magi ascribing dignity worthy of honor and respect by falling down before him. After coming, verse 11, after coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell to the ground and worshiped him. Now, just try to picture what's really going on, okay? And the awkwardness of this, if you kind of, in one sense, because there's a baby, okay? As cute as a baby is, it's like having my little you know, my Andrew, okay? And placing on a table here, okay? And I got some of the elders in our church, like Elder Frank, some of the older folks, bunch of them lying in front, and they like, they do that to the baby. That's strange, you know? No, it should be the other way around. Kids bow to elders, not like important elders bow to a baby. And yet that was what's happening. You should read that and say, that's kind of strange. They're not even bowing to like older Jesus. This is like a little infant, helpless Jesus. Because they saw not just a baby, it's faith. They have faith. They saw, as I was trying to help us to see last week, they saw the Messiah. It wasn't just a baby. Behind the skin, behind the cuteness, was the second person of the Trinity in the flesh, the creator of the universe, the Messiah, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. A Savior has been born. That's what they were bowing. That's what they were giving dignity and honor. It's not strange. It's only strange if you see it in the surface. And what's falling to the ground mean? What does that mean? When you fall to the ground, you go like this to someone, okay? If I went like that to Jonathan, you will think like, that's something going on there. He's high, I'm low. That's what he means, right? He's a king. He's all wise, all powerful. He's what I need. And I am what? I'm needy. I get all bent out of shape when things don't go my way. When I don't get what I want in this world, I just get mad or frustrated and I take it out on people. God, you are high and I am low. You have great dignity and I'm lowly by comparison. The third thing about worship I see in this text is, look at what they say in verse 10. When they saw the star, they what? Star was guiding them to the Messiah, this Jesus. They saw the star and they, what did they do? How'd they worship? They rejoice exceedingly with great joy. It would have been much to say if he says, they rejoiced, period. He didn't say that. He says, it's more to say if they said, rejoiced with joy. That's higher than just saying they rejoiced. It's more to say they rejoiced with not just joy, but great joy. Big joy. Not small. Big. And is even more to say, they rejoice exceedingly with great joy. That is a joy to the fourth degree. To say they, not just simply say they rejoice, but they rejoice exceedingly with great joy. Language to say, this is how I worship. This is how I feel. I rejoice exceedingly with great joy, this Jesus. you know, I worship here in the front, so I can't really see what's happening in the back, how people are worshiping, at least in the part of the singing. I thought a youth group folks might be here, but, you know, when you sometimes go to youth group service, you know, it is cool, it seems to me, cool not to sing. You know, some youth groups, I don't know all youth groups, but it's like youth groups or sometimes in college groups, and maybe at this church, it's the praise band, they're singing, you know? It is good that Jonathan doesn't go like, great joy, you know, what's the song? Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let her receive a king. No! That's just bad worship. You know? I'm not saying raise your hand. I mean, you could do that. What happens inside? There's great joy when you're singing. You don't even have to smile. I mean, it's hard to have great joy, amazing joy, joy exceedingly with great joy, without smiling. You'd be a contradiction when there's great joy and then you're like, have a sad face. Doesn't work that way. So I don't know what happens, but when you're singing, I'm not saying fake it, okay? That's worse. When parents fake Christianity, that's worse to your kids. Because you're lying. You're lying to your kids. You see how great he is and it just doesn't follow. So I'm not saying pretend, okay? I mean, adults could pretend. Kids don't think pretending is cool, so they're like, and I just praised him up there, and they're like, this is cool. Singing is not cool, but not singing is cool. I don't want to be embarrassed because other people are watching me, you know? I don't want to stand out. I'm not saying pretend, but inside your heart, when you're singing songs or this Christmas season, there should be, what? Rejoicing exceedingly with great joy of what's happening and what we're celebrating. Amen? Amen? Number four. And then they brought these gifts as a last act of worship. And I want to finish our time together with that. And the question you should ask is, why are they bringing gifts? Why isn't enough just to just bow their... That's pretty significant to like, I mean, could you do that to anyone else? Like literally go on your knees and go like this? That's dignity. That's worship. That's... You know, it's interesting that they brought these gifts. It's not like Jesus, baby. Jesus, he needs these gifts. It's not need meeting, okay? Because they know who he is. It's not just cute baby Jesus. He knows this is the Messiah, the creator of all. He owns all. And they're living in his world that he made. They know all this. These gifts aren't like bribes, okay? This Jesus, the Savior, the creator of all, he owns everything. So give him some gifts, scratch his back, so he will scratch yours. You know, a lot of you guys, in your relationship with God, who are genuine Christians, relate to God that way, don't you? Right? And do the Christian thing so that your life will go right, right? Because if you don't do the right things, then lightning will drop. Life will not go great. And so you do the things that you should be doing, right? Yes, you should pray. Often. You should
With all the opportunity that you can muster and get, you should be studying and learning this book. And yet there's another way of doing those things so that I'm scratching God's back like he needs me to do that. No, you need that. He doesn't need you to read your Bible. You know what I mean? Oh, look at that. I need that. That satisfaction that he's reading his Bible and studying it. No, you need it. Okay? That's why you should be doing it. It's not a bribe. And often we treat God that way. We do the good things so that he'll give you what you really, really want. It doesn't work that way. It's an old English word. You make a cockle out of God. You use God to get what you really, really want. That's not what the Magi were doing. There's some deep, profound thing that they see in Jesus. Number one, gold. The first gift was gold. And I already mentioned this. Gold, you know, you don't give gold to anyone. You give gold to who? Someone who's honorable. Like a king, to show honor. So they knew that this baby Jesus was the king. Not just the king of the Jews. They knew, because they worship, this is my king. I have come to worship. Jew or Gentile. He's a king of all. Who what? Who come before this Messiah and bow his or her knee and their life before him. Gold means king, honor. My life is not my own. My life belongs to you. Use it how you please. Not for my kingdom, not for my benefit in this world, for your honor and your kingdom. Brothers and sisters of us, the reason God has saved you from your sin that we celebrate is because he's bought you. He's bought you and he owns you. Your life is not yours to do whatever you want with it. And God just is like a butler, has to help you what you want to do. It doesn't work that way. He saved you from darkness to life so that now you do what? You stop doing what you want to do. You're not the king anymore. He's the king and he's leading you to where he wants you to go. That's what it means to be king and worshiping. Often we turn that upside down. I'm a Christian, Jesus loves me, and he gives me what I want. He blesses me with how I'm going to live with my life. It doesn't work that way. He owns you. He has bought you. And your life and my life is his. And often we turn that thing upside down. We think Jesus saved me so that he will help me to do what I want in this world. It doesn't work that way. That's not why he saved you. He wants you to follow him. Your life is his and what he wants you to do with your life. Frankincense. A lot of scholars think frankincense and myrrh was used for embalming the dead. You know, when there's a corpse, it stinks. I don't know exactly what people do now, but back then they used frankincense and myrrh. These are scents from a specific tree, and so you embalm the dead. So you would think, the baby was just born. It'd be kind of strange when you do your, 100-day birthday, and then someone brings, this fragrance of death, okay? You'd be like, you're weird. No, it's not weird. Is this the situation? The Magi knew this Savior, this Messiah, has been born, what? So that this incense, this fragrance,
to God, this sweet, frankincense is like a sweet aroma, incense to God. He was pleasing to the Father. This is my Son, in whom, what? I'm pleased. It's a special, special baby, special person who have come to become our righteous. He who knew no sin became sin so that you and I become the righteousness of God. He was pleasing. He was a sweet prayer fragrance going up to God. And then myrrh, because he will die and he will become the Savior. By his wounds, you are healed. By his death, you are healed and you are saved. That's why the Magi brought myrrh. The Magi saw that this baby Jesus was their king, king of the Jews and Gentiles. He was their what? A sacrifice pleasing to God. And he will be their Savior, sacrificing his own life for their sake and now for your sake. That's why we celebrate Christmas. It is a time to bow our knees before this King Jesus and surrender. Perhaps even repent of our waywardness. Come on, I'm 43 years old, okay? I'm not a little kid. I know. I read my Bible and I talk to people, okay? You have sin in your heart. You do. God knows it. You don't have to tell me, okay? But what you need to do is, if you hear anything I said this morning, okay, perhaps even this Christmas season would be time to repent. You know what repent is? Repent is not when Jesus or the Spirit brings up these sins in your life, okay, whatever that might be, you know? I mean, just take the word Lord. I know we have shortcomings with that. I do. I'm Lord. Don't tell me what to do. I do what I feel like doing. I have time. My life. Yeah, I'm a Christian. And that kind of attitude is sin. It's ingrained in me. It's ingrained in you. And when you repent, it's not like this. A lot of people think repenting is, oh yeah, God, help me. I'm sorry. And then you keep living the same way. That's not repentance. That's not how it works. Repentance is this. You're doing the wrong thing, okay? You're going this way, and then the Spirit, Jesus, convicts you of a sin, and then, oh, God, please forgive me. And he will. He will always forgive you. He has completely accepted you. There's nothing that he doesn't know already about you. He's a loving Father. He's a caring Father. He's for you. And you say, forgive me. I'm sorry. you don't just keep going after you confess. That's not how it works. Repentance, genuine repentance is you do an about face and you go the other way, the right way. That is true repentance. It's not Ask God for forgiveness. He forgives you and you keep doing the wrong things. That's not how it works. The Bible said that is grieving the Spirit. Do not do that. Listen to him. Listen to his tugging at you. Even when I'm saying these things, there should be stuff coming into your mind. Comes into my mind. All kinds of things. Character flaws that I have. Issues that I have in my life.
great distresses and fears that I have. It's not to keep just ramming your head, keep on doing it, you know? No. You're supposed to turn to our God, and He will help you. He will help you and help me with my weaknesses. That is someone who has repented. And when you do, He restores you completely. You know, our God is not like, you know, when we forgive some people, right? Let's say Jonathan wrongs me the same thing 3 times in a row, right? And the 4th time, are you serious? You did it again? That's not how it works. You know, when we forgive, we don't forgive all the way. But when God forgives us every time, He forgives us and He forgets about it. Our memories are very, very long. We have a hard time forgiving other people. But when God, when we go to Him, He forgives us completely as though we have never sinned again. It makes us whole, and He treats us like a sinless son until we fall again and repeat the process. That's our God. He's amazing. That word amazing is that. We have an awesome God, awesome Savior this Christmas. We rejoice exceedingly with great joy. Let's pray. Father in heaven, forgive us. We often don't worship You as You ought to be worshipped. With our lips, we say You are King and Lord, and with our actions, we are different. Our feelings rule. Our will rules, and not the will of Your word, of our Savior. Forgive us. Cleanse us from all of those unrighteousness, and fill our hearts with Your Spirit and Your truth. And may that flourish with fruits in our life. Convict us, especially this Christmas season. It's holiday season. I pray that You are King, our Savior, and Lord. We worship You. Pray all this not by might, not by power, but by Your Spirit in and through Christ. Amen.